Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of an episode, something about transplants and wasteland. Stuff. Wasteland. Transplant wasteland. Is that what it is? Yep. Wasteland transplant. Yeah, it's a song. It's an episode of Grace. The Grace episode is more important than the song, actually. But welcome back, part two. I'm Carmen. She's Kelsey. We're here for your entertainment. It's starting to get real late in the evening. The sun's getting real low, big guys. All right, Kelsey, let's do it. Let's do this. Let's do the thing. Grey's Academy, first, perfect time, first, perfect data podcast.
I have to do the inaugural.
Hey, nice.
On new microphone, because in between episodes, I went and fed the baby, and so then I had to have a second dinner, so now I'm having a beer. But I had to crack it open on the new mic.
Yeah, it was very intense sound on the microphone.
It's time for everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland! And this episode... This segment of Living in Shondaland is brought to you by us, your favorite Grey's Anatomy, Grey's We're Academy hosts. Make sure to hit that 5-star button, that like button, that review, that those follows. Go steal your friend's phone right next to you. That friend who doesn't have a password on their phone for some reason.
That is psychotic behavior.
So trusting of people for some reason. Take their phone and go download every single one of these episodes. Do it. It's the friend thing to do. Send us an email if you like us. Follow us on Instagram. The Grey's Academy Instagram is where we put all of our updates. And with that, and also Patreon. Do Patreon. Wait, don't we have a new Patreon? Did we not shout them out or did we do that last week? I forget.
Do we? What is time?
I don't know. It's okay. We'll circle back to it. If we miss it, we'll just do it next week. It's okay. We have lots to talk about.
We should do it
still
at the top of the episodes.
All right. So we have how many today?
We have 3.
Is it the ALS guy?
It is not.
Is it the Jalen girl?
It is not.
Okay, is it the parents of the ALS guy?
It is not.
Okay, is it any of the surgeons in the other state?
No.
Is it Jalen's boyfriend?
No.
I hate this show.
You Who would hate it? Everybody's favorite segment.
I love Shondaland, Living in Shondaland. I hate... How can it not be any of the people that I just named? Is it the two old dudes?
It's one of the old dudes.
Is it the dude who needed the heart and the lung?
Yes.
Okay. Just tell me who else. I can't think of anyone else in the episode.
It is Jalen's parents.
Fucking Jalen's parents. Gosh. I remember the boyfriend and not the parents. Gosh.
Yeah, and you said Brad, the ALS patient. You said his parents. But you didn't say her parents.
I'm so bad at myself.
You're doing amazing.
Thanks.
Okay. So Tom Bauer plays Mr. Schultz. So that's the one that needed heart and lungs, the older one. He was in one episode of Private Practice. Terrell Clayton plays Mr. Donovan. He was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. And then Dawn Greenidge is Mrs. Donovan, and she plays in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder, different episode. Now, before we get into this, I want to say, I meant to say this in the last episode. One of our listeners reached out In regards to the episode with the transgender patients, we said transgender multiple times, but we also said transgendered, and that is not the correct terminology. So I do want to point that out, as that was a learning moment. And then for anyone else who didn't know that, and I want to apologize and say, moving forward, we will be using transgender because that is the correct phrasing. So it is not past tense. It's transgender, not transgendered.
So, transgender.
Just wanted to correct that, and then also say thank you to the listener who pointed that out. We appreciate it. And then I think we should start. I want to talk about the ALS patient. But be remiss not to mention that Eric Dane, who played Mark Sloan on this show, was recently diagnosed with ALS. And recently, like 2 or 3 days ago, released a video with a prominent ALS like fundraising charity foundation. So I'm going to share that on our stories. And now Instagram has that thing where you can like repost things. I don't really know how that works, but I'll probably repost it so that it's like at a permanent spot on our page as well. He was diagnosed this year and he has progressed pretty rapidly. And it's a really difficult disease. Alicia actually made it. This is a teaching hospital for this week. So I wanted to read that as well just to like give some information on what it is. ALS stands for amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. It is an aggressive nerve disease affecting motor nerves, the brain, and the spinal cord. Nerve cells break down, which reduces functionality in the muscles they supply. More common in men than in women, fewer than 20,000 U.S. cases per year. The average survival time after diagnosis is only 2 to 5 years, but there are people that may live longer. The cause is ultimately unknown. ALS.org for more information. Donate towards the cause. And again, I will be sharing the video that Eric Dane released with the organization that he is working with to raise funds for more research to find a cure from the disease, because it is it's a rough one.
Very sad.
Yeah. So that I was just like thinking, it was just interesting because I, you know, just watched that video yesterday, and then today when I was watching this episode, I was like, oh, it really just like kind of seeing the portrayal of how that can potentially play out in the end stages of it was is rough. It's just a bummer. I mean, you know, there's no great disease, like, but this just, it hits more home to this show knowing that Eric Dane was so recently diagnosed with it. You know, he has younger kids as well, and it's just heartbreaking. So, you know, I'm really hopeful that they are able to raise awareness and raise money towards a cure. The Emmys were also this past weekend, Sunday night, and I'm a big award show person. Like, I love the red carpet. I love award shows. I love, like, as someone who went to school for theater and, like, has a passion for acting, getting to see people, like, succeed to the highest ability, basically, and be awarded these things is so cool to watch. And something the Emmys did this year was they had a bunch of shows that were hitting milestones for how long they had been on TV. And like Gilmore Girls aired 25 years ago. Law and Order is like 300 years old or something. So they had a bunch of different people from the different Law and Order franchises. And Grey's has been on the air 20 years this year. And so Jesse Williams presented, plays Jackson, and he was meant to present originally with Eric Dane. But Eric Dane was unable to attend because of like the progressions that he's dealing with and the way that the disease is playing out for him. And so I just want to, again, like mention that and just take note of, it's not, these things kind of just, they always feel vague until you like know somebody, not that we know this man, but like, you know what I mean? There's always something that can make a disease hit closer to home. And this, I feel like, is one of those things. And if you'll recall, like the ALS, the ice challenge, ice bucket challenge.
Yeah.
In like 2014, 2015. So, yeah, I just wanted to speak on that.
It's a good call out.
So, this specific character who has it in this episode is named Brad, and they say he was a doctor at Mercy West with April. So she's very emotionally invested. He is at the end stages of the disease. And he has decided essentially to withdraw care so that he can die and do organ donation. And because it's like a very controlled environment, his heart will stop beating. But as long as they harvest everything within 5 minutes, it's still like usable, viable organs. Owen had already signed off on it and everything. April does not like this. I understand like the concept that a doctor is going to lean more towards like wanting to continue to fight. You know, that's when the first episode where they really talked about doctor assisted suicide. And Owen was so against it, and Teddy was the one that was for it. Really talked a lot about that as well. And so I understand. I think they do a good job presenting it from like the patient standpoint of like, you know, when it's inevitable, when you're going to be like, I'm going to control this because I'm going to die either way. And doing your best to make that mean something to you or to others around you. I think to me it tracks, and wanting to do that makes sense, especially coming from like a doctor. And when April, you know, she's upset about it because she wants him to fight. But then she asks Christina, which is easily the worst person to ask this question to. Like, obviously, Christina is going to be on the side of this patient. Because she's just very pragmatic in a lot of ways and very, like, black and white, factual, like, look at things. She's not going to have the emotional tie to it. And April's like, if you could donate your organs, would you? And she's like, obviously, I would do that. Like, what a stupid question. So I think April's getting frustrated because she wants to fight it, and she pushes back against Brad multiple times until he's finally like, you're fired. I don't want you as my doctor because I don't want to spend the time I have left arguing with you about this because I'm doing it. I don't care. Like, respectfully, I don't care about your opinion. It doesn't matter in this scenario.
That was so cold. That was so cold as fuck. I was dope. I was like, yeah dude, stand up. Yeah. That's when he fired her, I think. He fired her in that scene. Yeah.
He's like, I have so little time. I don't want to spend precious moments arguing with you about this.
Yeah. He also,
respectfully,
I think he wasn't a dick about it. He like grabbed her hand. He like held her hand and said, you're fired, dude.
Yeah.
With love.
Because it's like how she's not listening. Like how many times can you say the same thing before you're like, oh, I'm not going to continue this conversation anymore. Like, yeah. I've said it clearly. I've said it factually. Like, this is my reason. I don't want to continue the conversation. It's serving no one, especially not me. And I'm the one in this scenario that matters the most. So I'm very much on his side.
Yeah. The scene where, so they're going over everything. And the mom is like obviously starting to be sad. She's like, are you sure you don't want this? Are you sure you want this? I just want more minutes together. I want these things. And it's also, I think it's so what's the word? Like poignant of a scene where they're like, mm-hmm. We don't have hours. We don't have days. We have minutes together. We don't have years. We have minutes. And when he's like, don't do this now, mom. Like, we've gotten this far. Don't do this now. When April walks in, I'm getting goosebumps talking about this scene because this was one of the other scenes that I cried.
Yeah.
When April comes in and she says, your son wants to save a 17-year-old girl.
Yeah, and starts like listing out who the organs are going to.
A 44. Actually, do you have that exact scene? When he says, you get it now, and when the mom says, keep going, that was when I started to cry. My entire body has goosebumps. I'm like all
that's
goosebumps
so,
up right
because
now.
Because this storyline also made me very emotional, but it was in the OR after he has died. And
that
they
was
have to
also,
like physically pull the mom off of him. That's to me where I was like, I can't do this. I cannot watch this.
Yeah.
Okay, so in Brad's like explaining to everyone what's going to happen. And his mom's like, are you sure? Like, we want to support you, but I just want to make sure, like, if you don't want to do this, we're not going to judge you, blah, blah, whatever. And he's like, mom. And April says she just wants to make sure that if you have any doubts, or sorry, the dad says she just wants to make sure if you have any doubts. And April says your son is still a doctor and he wants to save a 17-year-old girl in Idaho who is getting one of his kidneys. The other one is going to a 44-year-old councilman in Nevada. His kidney could be the president one day. You get it now. I do. Keep going. Half of your liver is going to a 50-year-old artist right here at Seattle Grace, and a 10-year-old in Oregon will get to play on his little league team because of the other half. Nice. Yeah. It reminded me of, when George passed away and they donate his organs and Bailey's in the room and she asks every single surgeon to tell her the name and age of the patient who was getting each organ. And I think for me that totally tracks on like getting closure and like understanding that like there, it's just so much bigger than this one thing. And the world is just like, and so one person can feel like your entire world, but like for other people, that's what these other patients are. And so knowing that like, that's going to be, you know, and you always, there's always those videos of like, oh, this person got her brother's heart in a transplant and now he's at her wedding and like all stuff like that.
Yeah.
And just like, those are always.
Those are always, yeah.
Intense.
100% of the time, those will make me cry. Yeah, and then the scene at the end, so he finally passes away, mm-hmm. the clock starts, the mom's crying. April is, like, in a really hard spot mm-hmm. because she's, like, grieving mom. Even the dad's on there. The mom is just weeping. I can't imagine, like, having to be on the table with Marlo. Like, my gosh, that's crazy.
It's like you want to be there, right, like, with them and through those moments. But then, like, the reality of having to, like, get up and walk away is I think something you don't really think about when you're planning to be like, okay, we're saying goodbye and all this stuff. But
I couldn't when we euthanized Grievous, I couldn't even like his body was there was no heartbeat. I was in that room a long time after he was gone.
Yeah.
More than 5 minutes.
Which I will say that I think is very admirable because a lot of people cannot, like, they don't have, like, the emotional capacity to sit there and go through that with their pets. So, unfortunately, like, a lot of pets spend those last moments, like, just with the vet, which I don't, like, I understand why it's hard for people. But, like, also, I'm like, think about, like, you don't want the pet to, like, be alone in those moments. Like, you want to be with them and, like, hold them.
Yeah.
But it is brutal. We had a really great vet growing up that would come to your house and do euthanasias which is, I think, great because then it's like you don't have to have them in like an unfamiliar place or like all of our dogs growing up like did not love the vet. So it's like it's different. Like, you know, there are dogs that love the vet. I mean, we had one who was like a stray that got turned into the vet, and so they had him there for like 6 months, and then my mom finally one day was like, okay, we'll take this dog because I don't want him to have to live here forever. That's not fair. And so he loved the vet because when he went, everyone would be like, oh my god, our friend is back. But other dogs that we had did not like the vet, and so it was lovely that they would offer that so they don't have like the anxiety. Also, like when you're trying to get a bigger dog into a car if they're sick can be hard. Like, there's so much around it. But yes, I mean, to your credit, I think that's, I mean, obviously it's partially is like for you guys to like process in your own way as well, but it's fucking brutal.
Yeah. And I also like there's a close friend of ours who obviously shared that they're making this choice coming up. And I think actually for a long time, I felt bad saying that like putting my dog down was the worst day of my life. Cause like, my parents have gotten divorced. Like, I've gone through a lot of stuff in my life. No, right. But I actually feel like even working where I work now in the veterinary industry has given me so much closure to like, that's okay.
That's very valid. Yeah.
And animals just, they understand us and rely on us in a way that's, not exactly like a child, but it's kind of childlike.
Yeah, it's similar.
You know? They're just, dogs are just humans that don't grow up to speak and get jobs.
People get mad when they're like, oh, my dog is my baby. And like another person is like, no, it's not. You didn't carry them. I'm like, first of all, not everyone carries their own child. So that argument is invalid to me. Second of all, like you can absolutely like I don't think it's weird when people say that dogs are their babies. Like, I will be like, it's not as hard as a baby because you can legally just leave that alone in your house and you cannot do that with a baby. But other than that, I'm like, as far as like the love and the capacity to love, I'm like, I don't get mad when people do that. And I'm like, you don't really have the place to tell someone else how much they do or do not love something in their own life. So it bothers me when people are like so judgmental about that stuff.
Yeah. What I will say,
I definitely think that's valid.
Kudos to the people that I've been around over the last almost year of this job. I have never seen someone walk out before their animal has been euthanized. It's seeing it through to the end. So
I think it's,
and I know
they're definitely becoming more like kind of the norm. And there's just also so much more like the vets, I think, allow for so much like emotional space in those times and like just kind of coping with that, if that makes sense. I mean, you're there, you know what I mean. Yeah. But when you said that it was the worst day of your life, one of my cousins, it's like my second cousin, but I call her dad, my uncle. When we were in high school, he had a heart attack. He survived. He's still alive. He's fine. We see him all the time. He's great. But we lived together our freshman year and senior year of college. And she's like, anytime I have a bad day and I just go, this is the worst day of my life. And then I think to myself, well, there was that one day my dad had a heart attack. And she's like, that was probably actually the worst day of my life. I'm like, that's fair.
Yeah. When you use things like that, traumatic events, as the baseline of, is it worse than this? No. Okay. Do I feel worse than when General Grievous died? No. Okay. Fucking buck up, Carmen. You know, like, so that's fair. All right. This is a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I don't know how we got here, but that's fine.
We were talking about the
parents being in the room. Yeah.
So they get like almost 30 seconds before she's like, I need, it's like 45 or 40 on the timer. And she's like, I have to pick you up now, ma'am.
Yeah. She's literally like, if you don't leave, this is for nothing.
Right.
This means nothing if you don't leave. And she's not even being like, you can't be sad. She's like, you just can't be sad right here. But yeah, like the physically having to like pull her off and like hand her over to the husband is like,
daggers. Brutal. Daggers for sure. All right. What? Oh, also, I think it's worth noting, he's like trying to say goodbye to his family while Alex and Christina are arguing in the hallway about who gets to go into surgery room two.
Mm-hmm.
I also was a bit confused where the scene where April had said, it'll be any moment now, like it's time to pay our respects. No one says anything.
Maybe they're emotionally, or they cut away. Maybe.
I don't
think
that
when
they
were doing like a lot of cuts, because then they're like cutting to like Joe and Meredith getting the kidney,
like a montage,
and then Jalen coming, and then Christina bringing her guy in. So yeah, there's like a lot of things happening all at once. And then, it gets real sassy really quick because Alex and Christina like run into each other in the hallway and they're both like, where the fuck do you think you're going? I'm going here. I'm going here. And that's, you know, then when Jackson has his rise to the occasion moment.
Yeah. Let's talk about either Jalen or the two old dudes. And there's a couple parts of this, obviously, that are like intertwined, but.
Well, let me say this about Jalen's boyfriend. He sucks. Teenage boys suck.
Teenage boys
suck. Honestly, a lot of teenagers suck, respectfully.
Honestly, a lot of boys suck.
It's true. I will not argue with that. the whole, like, her being excited and then him being like, oh, it's whatever. Like, it's, I'm too cool. And her being like, oh, yeah, sweet. I'm like, no, that pisses me off. Guys, it's not stupid to be excited about things.
Yeah, like, it's not edgy. It's not like...
Why is, like, having genuine excitement cringy? Like, come on. Everything is garbage. Like, have some joy. Let people have joy. Don't yuck people's yum. You know,
it's don't just like, do it.
Fuck off. And like, it's definitely when you're like a teenager and you're trying to, you know, figure out who you are and you want to fit in. It's like, it's understandable. I'm sure we've all had these moments. I'm not going to sit here and act like I was not a shitty teenager, because I'm sure I was, because what teenager isn't?
Yeah, like, no,
realistically,
I,
come on.
Yeah.
Everyone has moments.
I also think, I think the worst time that I'd ever been that edgy, stupid boy was when my parent, when we'd done Disney World, and I think I was like 16 or 17, and I was like, Disney World, this is dumb. This is before the Star Wars acquisition. Also, like, I think I was 16, and I was still getting my driver's permit, and we were driving to Florida, and I didn't maneuver out of the, I was driving our family. I didn't maneuver out of the way of a tire quick enough, so my dad starts punching the shit out of me I'm in the driver's seat on the highway.
Classic, classic family fun.
Yeah, that put a damper on the trip to start. We played behind the eight ball a little bit, and then my parents got divorced afterwards. So,
but good times.
But then I went to Disney and I visited Jess, and I fell in love.
It came full circle, right? You reclaimed your Disney.
I did. I was at a vet partner today visiting, and something had come up, and I was like, yeah, like when I'd worked at the Walt Disney Company for a couple of years, and they go, you worked at Walt Disney? And my nursing manager who was with me, she goes, can't you tell?
Yeah, I'm
very,
like,
vindicated.
I think at some, I was telling a story and I was like, because in case you couldn't tell, because of the everything about me, I did do the Disney College program.
I love it.
It was actually so funny because we're training a new, I'm training a new wedding coordinator at work, and she is also a big Disney fan, and she had taken her kids in 2018, and they had done the boutique in Springs, and I was like, no way. So I'm like, pull up, had her pull up the picture, and like, I was like, can you imagine if I had done one of their hair? And I did not, but she was like showing me all of it, and I was like, yep, that's this person. I'm like, oh, look, this person just got married, because I'm friends with them on Facebook. And I was like pulling that up, I'm like, what a small world. And
that is hilarious.
Small world after all. Sorry, that's stuck in your head.
I love
now.
It yep, you're welcome. Just for the sake of time, let's just be safe and pay homage to capitalism. We'll be right back.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
And we're back. And I hope you all got a Disney ad. I hope everyone...
Oh my God. I hope that too.
Can I also just, on the last thing on the topic of Disney, I feel no shame when people are like, oh, you went to Disney World? Oh, man, the happiest place on earth. And I'm like,
the most magical place on earth.
The most magical place on earth. The happiest place on earth is Disneyland. Thank you very much. I didn't go there. So I do not feel
absolutely unactually people for that.
Yeah. Man, what a great show.
Also, when I was FaceTiming with your wife on Sunday, and she was like, they're going to Disney World in January. I was like... I would never tell my children someone else is going to Disney World because they would not shut up about it.
Who's going to Disney World in January?
We are.
Oh. We are too.
Yeah. Okay.
We're going to be there the same same time as you. Yes, yes, absolutely.
I wish. Okay. Grey's Anatomy. Okay, all right, so anything else on the ALS? Did you have anything else on Jalen?
Oh, I thought we just started talking about Jalen.
Yeah, well then you just now said the old dudes. So
I apologize. That's okay. My fault. Let's start talking about Jalen.
So
that's my
Jalen's boyfriend sucks, but she's getting a new kidney. She is nervous when Alex goes over the like protocol for post transplant, like all the medication you have to take, like mainly the anti-rejection meds, and like anti-infection medication. He has to obviously legally go over the side effects, and they are scary, as most side effects are. And so they freak her out, and she's like, I don't want to lose all my hair, and I don't want to, you know, do this and this and this. And so then she locks herself in the bathroom, and she's like, I'm just going to stay on dialysis. And her parents are like, what if? No.
Which is the correct response.
Yeah, yeah, that feels right. But... So she locked herself in the bathroom and Alex steals Theo's phone to try and tell her to come out. But he's so bad at texting, which is very funny. Be chill. So funny.
When she comes out and says, Theo would never use emoticons. No one's ever said emoticons.
Yeah.
No.
What a time to be alive in
emoticons.
2013.
Right, his name is Theo. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
It was Theo. Okay. Yeah. Theo sucks.
And then Alex is like, you got to take this kidney. Oh, she's like, I'll talk to you, but only if you come and talk to me in the bathroom. Weird. And so he goes in, he's like, you know, you got to take this now because you don't know when there will be another one. Like, I liked this girl and now she's dating this dude with big arms because I didn't say anything. And she's like, are you hitting on me because you're old? And he's like, no, but you should take this kidney. And she goes, so I should take this kidney so it doesn't go to somebody with big arms. And he's like, yes. This is a great, you guys are good at communicating. You're really doing the best.
Yeah.
And so then he convinces her through, you know, his incredible communication storytelling skills.
It's funny because she's like, I don't want to do something that's going to make me go bald and get fat and poop my pants. Like, those are things...
Then definitely don't get pregnant.
Yeah. I agreed with that before I processed fully what you said.
I did not poop my pants when I was pregnant. Or go bald.
Just
but
on the
I was
birth.
Ill. Yeah, I did. I did poop my pants when I gave... Well, I didn't have any pants on. I was giving birth.
Yeah, yeah. And also, because of your pregnancy, I pooped my pants.
That's so true. Also
not,
because
not
of
actually
Wendy's.
Pants pooping. Yeah, it's mostly Wendy's.
Good times. Okay.
So
she's nervous, and he's like, that's just not actually likely to happen. I just have to tell you it for legal reasons.
Yeah, because I am a doctor. But she does it. She does the surgery. And I'm led to believe that it's all good, happy ending.
Yeah.
And we're led to believe
that
she's
I
okay.
think only Brad dies in this episode. That's kind of my takeaway.
And that honestly brings life. So
that's true to several people.
It's a good death. It's a good, yeah. just death.
Mm-hmm. It feels like he's taking control of his destiny in a way. And I appreciate that storytelling. So, yeah, she does it. And then when Alex is trying to get the OR, he's like, I got to do it now. She's a flight risk. That made me chuckle. So, yeah, they do end up having to wait because they say that heart and lungs trumps kidney, which is valid. But she does, you know, still get it. It's not like they have it and it's not a good kidney or they have it. And then, like, something's wrong with her. They make it seem like she does get it at the end of the day. Also in that storyline, though, is Alex is being very grumpy because he loves Joe and she has a boyfriend. And also he's grumpy because they bought the hospital and, like, he didn't know what was happening. And he's grumpy because of who he is as a person.
Yeah.
And so he's being mean to Joe. He's being mean to Meredith. He's just like copping attitudes left and right with everybody. And she's like, if you want me to apologize, I'm sorry that we bought the hospital and didn't tell you. And now we have to be your boss. But like, you're being a turd and you need to get your shit together because Joe is your friend. And she like went to bat for you really hard today. And you need to cut your shit before no one wants to work with you anymore. Because we saved this hospital. So wouldn't it be great if you actually got to work at it?
Yeah, when she's like, Joe was literally ready to murder someone to get this kidney for you today. So how about you back off, dude? Like, let's be real.
Yeah, when she said like, oh my God, wait, what is it? Where she's like, give me that kidney or I'm going to reach down your throat and pull out one of yours. I was like, damn, girl, get it.
What does that nurse say? Call off your attack dog or something?
Yeah, Meredith's like, oh, I found our kidney. And she's like, okay, so can you call off your attack dog? And she's like, Wilson, stand down.
Yeah, and in between all of this, there's two scenes that stand out that include Alex as like an in and out character. So the scene in the elevator where Joe and
Jason.
Chesticle Pectoralson he's like, I wear pink scrubs. You're trying to fuck, and she's like, yas. And Alex walks in, and he's like, yeah, dude, what's up? I know. Chest Peckerson, whatever his name is. And he goes, yeah, my name is Jason Myers, bro. And then he just walks away, takes the stairs. Yeah. Funny. And then when they're at Joe's bar, which is ironic because her name is Joe.
It is.
Maybe, is she going to buy the bar? Official prediction. And their rebranding is just going to be crossing out the E in Joe's name. So they're there. He just sits down. And is like, let me buy
just
you a drink.
Just fully pretends that Jason isn't even there.
Totally. Just interrupts.
He's like, hey, like Meredith said, you really fought for me today. I really appreciate that. Like, sorry, I've been grumpy. Can I buy you a drink? And she's like, I'm good. And Jason's like, yeah, we're good. I'm like, sir, this is not about you.
Yeah.
Read the room.
That's funny.
Also, when Joe and Meredith are on the plane and Joe's like, oh, Alex is just upset because like of all this. And Meredith's like, yeah, you don't need to teach me how to speak, Alex. I'm actually really good at it. And then she says, oh, he's just upset because I have a boyfriend, right? Like, he doesn't hate me. And she's like, I don't know. Maybe he hates you. I thought that was funny.
Also, look at how far we've come. Meredith wasn't flying at all. And now she's been on a flight like every episode for the last 12
episodes. I know.
And
it's another baby plane.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a regular plane. She went right back to the thing that is the most terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it flies, what they call an unaccompanied minor through the...
I've flown as an unaccompanied minor before.
I have not.
It's, you know, it's been a while because it's been a while since I was a minor. I think I was 14 or 15. I flew to Fort Lauderdale from Chattanooga. And really, they just like have an airline employee. Well, I think it's an airport employee that takes you and like sits with you. Like, we had a connection. So mainly it was, I think also they let our parents have gate passes because we were unaccompanied. Because it was me and one of my friends. And we flew down to stay with my grandparents in Fort Lauderdale. And so I think they let our parents have gate passes. So our parents were with us initially. And then when we got on, like when we got to the new place, I think we had to wait until everyone else got off of the airplane. And then someone met us and then walked us to the new gate. And then had to stay there until we were on the second plane. But we got to board the second plane first, but we had to deplane the first plane last, if I recall correctly. But they did take us there on a golf cart.
But
we
had to
wear giant like tags, like lanyard with tags on them that said UM really big. So yeah, so that's how
unaccompanied minor. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's all I got with Jalen and Alex. But I'm like, Alex, just profess your love, dude. Like, let's stop beating around the bush.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just do the damn thing and get together. And you guys can make sweet, sweet love and get married. Or save yourselves until your marriage, you know?
Yeah, get married and then make sweet, sweet love.
Get married and then make the sweet, sweet love. Do what you got to do, you know? Two old dudes walk into a bar.
Yes, and they hate each other because...
This story is wild.
Yeah. Let me find it, like, so I cannot... Because I still, like, struggle to keep it straight.
And they're funny. Like, they hate each other, but it's kind of comedic.
So Heather goes, why do they hate each other so much? And Christina says, they were neighbors. Crump's wife left him for Schultz like 30 years ago. Heather, no. Yes. She ended up leaving him too for some other guy in the neighborhood. No. Yes. No. Can your mind be blown on your own time?
So funny. So funny.
And then
funny.
She says, I have to talk to my supervisor. And Heather's like, well, aren't you your supervisor? And she goes, yes. So I'll have this conversation with myself.
It's so funny. It really is.
So yeah, they're one of them needs a new heart and the other one needs a new lung, but because of like the damage to the heart from needing new lungs, he also needs a new heart, but it's not as dire as the other guy's heart. So they end up getting it and Christina has the idea. She's like, oh, well, we're going to give him a new heart when we take out his, when we do the heart and lung transplant, but this heart is still better than the other guy's heart. So why don't we just domino it to him? And he is mad and he's like, I can't have his heart beating in my chest, blah, blah. And then Christina's like, why don't you use it to outlive him? And he goes, this heart will get me to his funeral. And she goes, it'll get you dancing on his grave.
When she gets it. Yeah, she gets it. When they're in the scene, and so first off, like one dude's throwing him under the bus and he's like, he's smuggling pepperoni pizza.
Yeah.
And then when he's like, it doesn't matter, bitch, because I'm leaving soon. And he says, oh, thank God you're dying. The High Lord has heard my prayers.
There
everything
is a God
amazing.
And he's answering my prayers.
Yeah. 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 The dude's wife leaving him for the one dude and then leaving that dude for another dude is just like, I need to know. I need that family. I need her to make a reality TV show.
Yeah,
I want someone to watch
that person go to therapy because they need it.
Yes, absolutely. I guess I was confused a little bit because why wouldn't the one guy just get the new heart?
I think there's like less of a risk of infection maybe if they do the heart and lungs together.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, that's my thought. I don't super understand it either.
That makes total sense. It's very insightful, very wise, very full of wisdom.
I'm such a doctor.
But for legal reasons, we are not doctors.
So true. So, okay.
Yeah, all of this is very funny. This, of course, leads us to the scene where Weber is, like, checking in on Jackson, and Bailey's there, and she's like, have you heard all these Pegasus protocols? Like, what are you going to do about it, Jackson? And Weber's like, man, you're having a hard time, I see. And then Christina comes in and gives the paper for him to sign. Mm-hmm. She's like, I need this authorization for a domino transplant. When you anoint yourself king, it comes with certain responsibilities. I think she hits him with the line when he's like, well, but tell me, why are you doing the domino transplant? And she said something to the effect of, I could take the time to explain it to you, but we'd all be dead after if I did that.
My patients would die. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. She was
episode. Like signing the form and Callie pops her head over to go, make sure you sign your name and not your mom's. I was
so
like, damn, Callie's
funny.
So salty.
Callie is very salty.
That was one of the big, like, everything all at once moments. The stress, the chaos moments when Bailey's still talking about protocols and she's like, well, it doesn't matter because I did it the way I wanted to do it. And I was like, good for you. Honestly,
why would you do that? Because,
why,
bitch,
why
I'm
would
Bailey.
You not? Like, come on, dude.
The heart of the fucking hospital, dude.
Truly. So, I think that's it. On those guys, was there anything else on patient-wise that you wanted to chat about?
Be patient with me while I look through my notes. Nope, I don't think so. There was a scene unrelated to the patients, but there was a scene where Derek and Christina are kind of having a moment, and it leads up to the Owen forgiveness scene.
Yes.
But Christina's like, dude, you are being a dick, and you constantly are blaming Owen.
Well, he's also like, you're saying you don't blame him, and then you blame him. Like, which one is it? Also, like, you have now made this worse by making Owen not be here. Because for all of his faults as a human being, he's good at the job of chief.
Yeah.
So it is crumbling without him.
Speaking of crumbling, meeting a cookie.
I could go for some crumble.
Mm. We are catering crumble cookies for Marlo's birthday party.
God damn it. I'll be working that day.
And I ordered an extra dozen of the pumpkin pie crumble cookies to freeze for myself.
So selfless.
Well, you know, if we need to give them to people, I won't.
You won't.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Was there anything else you wanted to mention?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, cool. So let's do our Patreon questions. What name would you have given the hospital?
The Carmen Gabriel is dope, awesome hospital.
It's a bad name.
Okay. I think this is probably like
it
the
makes
best.
Sense. They're perfect. Using the money from the plane crash to buy the hospital. It makes a lot of sense to me.
Gray Sloan has more flow than Sloan Gray.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's not something Harper Avery bullshit hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gray Sloan, I think, is that's about as good as it could have gotten.
Yeah. Should the family have said goodbye to Brad and not joined in the operating room? I mean, I see both sides. It's hard to say goodbye to someone, I feel like, when they're still awake and alive and being like, well, you'll just be dead. Like, sitting there, also because they don't know how long, like, it will take for him to die after they take him off the vent. I see both sides.
I'm with camp, stay in the room. I think that the doctor should have immediately come in and not waited for the family to leave.
Well, I think they have to stay sterile, though, so they have to make
sure
they
leave.
Oh, yeah,
that's fair.
So
that's fair.
Sterile.
That's fair. That's a good point. I mean, stick in the room, but...
Yeah. I mean...
It's tough. It's
again,
tough. It's unimaginable.
You just have to have that person that's basically security. To like pull her off.
Yeah.
Is this the end for Owen as chief of surgery?
Clearly not.
During Derek and Owen's heated exchange, was what Derek said to Owen the hard truth or a false statement about you don't want to get into who is responsible for this?
No, he was just being an asshole.
Yeah, I mean, he was just... It's like when you know someone well enough, you know how to hurt them. That's what he was doing.
And honestly, here, Derek actually was pretty calm for a minute. I'm not saying that it's okay to explode on someone, but the first couple of jabs that Owen threw, and he was like at a level 10, Derek was kind of calm. And then Owen said the word blame and like apparently triggered Derek, but he's like, you don't.
Oh no, Carmen died, you guys. He tipped over dead.
Anyways, there was a thing that Derek said. You don't want to.
He was
talk
like,
about
yeah,
blame.
You don't want to get into who is responsible for this.
You can't handle the truth.
Is it? It's like, technically, yes. If you like needed to blame someone for it, you could blame Owen. You could blame the airline company. You could blame the FAA because all of these airline issues were public record and they just were like, you can keep being a plane company.
You could so also, you know, you could also blame the Wright brothers for discovering the miracle of
so
flight.
So true.
Like, how far so back true. Does this conspiracy go?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know,
what were the Wright brothers' parents' name? Mr. and Mrs. Wright. Let's blame them.
So I'm like, yes, you can technically say it. I think Derek, again, I don't think he believes it. because I think later what he says is his truth. Like, if you knew what was going to happen, you never would have signed those papers. So he is, again, just carrying anger that he has not, both of them are carrying anger that they have not processed. Anger and guilt.
Yeah.
Because, like, survivor's guilt is very real.
Oh, yeah.
Will Jackson and Catherine be able to find balance in their personal and professional relationship?
They're going to have to. It's going to take Jackson snapping on her, though.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I think it's going to happen in front of Weber.
And whose side do you think he'll take?
He's going to take his side.
Yeah. I don't like this.
Yeah.
At all. In the scene where they are fighting for the OR, who is the real leader who made things happen, Jackson or Bailey? I think Jackson.
Jackson made it happen, but there's this really great TED Talk on the power of the first follower. Mm-hmm. So it's a really cool video. If you're curious, reach out to me and I will send it to you, all of you listening out there. But it's basically like a leader isn't a leader until they have followers. And so in that moment, Jackson was a leader, but without that first follower of Bailey and then everyone else getting in line, like that's the whole power of being a leader is once you can get one follower, then there's a domino effect.
There's a power to the first follower too, because, you know, if it's someone else who like doesn't carry the same respect, like if like April agrees with him, you're going to have people like Alex and Christina being like, well, you're disagreeing with him because you guys had sex.
Yeah.
So there is a weight to who is backing him.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Catherine getting mad at Richard for stepping into parenting territory? Do you think it's Richard's place? And as Catherine's partner, do you think it's more of Richard's professional assessment? Kind of talked that through.
Yeah, I'm on Richard's side, and I don't think he overstepped. I see where she's getting defensive, but yeah. I don't think it was an overstep.
And if she truly did think he was overstepping, and like if she had said what she said and walked away and not come back to apologize, I think he still would have been like, you know, he still thinks like as far as what Jackson is doing, I think he still thinks that is correct. But I think he has a lot of respect for the concept of her as a parent to Jackson, and he would respect that boundary for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was the last one.
Let's rate it.
Okay.
I think we're probably in agreeance.
Oh, I don't think so. Go ahead.
A one.
Oh, definitely.
No. I actually don't think I'm going to give this episode a five, but I got to tell you, it's
the last close. 60 seconds is like a 200.
Yeah. I think it's a 4.7.
I was going to say 4.6. So we are pretty close to agreeance. Just because like there's so much, again, this it's meant to be this way, but like the chaos and the back and forth throughout is just like very unsettling to watch. And like then it does the second, really like the third act, I guess you would say, of the episode, things start to calm down and fall into place. But like there's just so much back and forth, and like it gets really choppy. It's just like kind of hard to keep up with in some spots. But the way it all comes together and then the way it ends, obviously, is just chef's kiss perfection.
Yeah.
So that's it. We're at Gray Sloan now, you know?
Gray Sloan. I officially predict that the name will not change.
That is a good prediction.
If there is any cool merch out there that you can send me that's spoily free, I think I do want to invest in a Gray Sloan hoodie or something.
Yeah. Okay, I'll investigate and send it to you.
Can you also do me a favor? And this is like for real, like as soon as we get off here, because I want to watch this. Can you send me the clip of Bailey distributing the organs for George?
Yeah.
I just don't remember that scene and I want to watch it really quick.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll watch it while I'm editing this episode.
Okay. So if this episode is poorly edited, guys, it's Carmen's fault, because it always is, because he's who edits everything.
But let's think about the person who sent me the distraction, and then we'll go back a step.
I'm not sending it.
Who created the show? Shonda. Shonda.
And the
is person, to blame.
The people who created us.
Yes, our parents and Shonda's parents are all to blame.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, Any predictions?
I think I've predicted all the things that I have no changes to my predictions. I still think Joe and Alex are going to be together. I do think that Owen will be chief and is going to be staying chief for a while. I think there's going to be a bigger role for Bailey. I just don't know what that's going to be. I see a world where Weber and Catherine get married and Weber officially adopts Jackson to be his son with Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be kind of cool. Harper Avery is going to have to come back at some point because now his money's in the hospital. He wants to come check on his grandson or some bullshit. So that's going to happen. I don't want Christina and Owen together.
Oh yeah, she called him sweetheart in this episode, and I hated it. It was disgusting.
Sweetheart, come back, sweetheart.
Gross. I hated it.
I don't think I have any other predictions. I'm like vibing. I'm like really happy with everything right now.
Do you want to just like, okay, this was episode 17, and there's 24 in the season, so we have 7 more to go. That feels wrong. Is that right? That can't be right.
Yes. No.
Yeah, there's 7 more. Okay. So do you want to just make like...
Well, technically this was 17, so there's 6 more.
Yeah. So... there's 7 more, but that's okay.
What's the difference?
It's don't do math live on a podcast.
It's a difference between variance and discrepancy. There is a 6 numerical difference.
I don't need to talk about math anymore. Okay. I have moved on. Thank you though.
Should we talk about debt to equity ratios again?
Please, because
I have an hour long PowerPoint that I've created.
Cool. I will not be in attendance for that. Predict something for the finale.
Dylan's going to come back as a different character, but he's still going to explode.
You exhaust me.
Pronounced astound incorrectly. What's that from? You astound me. So that's from something.
I am astounded by the stupidity.
I think that the finale is going to include Christina. No.
Do you remember the large thing that's currently happening other than them buying the hospital? Because I feel like you've forgotten that it's happening.
What is happening?
Meredith is pregnant.
Oh, Meredith is pregnant! I did forget that Meredith is pregnant. The baby will be delivered and everyone will be happy. And man, something bad is going to happen in the hospital while she's giving birth. But the birth is going to be okay. The baby's going to be okay. But something bad is going to happen. Man, what's going to happen in the finale? It's got to be good. It's got to be good.
Is it a plane crash, though?
It's not a plane crash. It's a bus crash. They've already done a boat crash. I don't know. I'm just going to go ahead and watch the finale right now and skip the next 6 episodes.
That sounds great.
Are any of these combined episodes coming up or no?
No.
Okay. All right.
No. I know.
It's all right. It's amazing. Everything's awesome.
Yeah, it's been actually a while.
When you're part of a team.
I think was the shooting the last two episodes together?
Was the plane crash not 2 episodes together?
No, it was 1.
No.
Yes.
Because the end of the episode, the phone was ringing.
But it wasn't 2. They aired separately, though.
Oh, that's right.
It was just a fucking cliffhanger for us regular folks.
Yes, for the regular folks. For you fucking peasants.
Okay.
Who watched in real time like a bitch.
All right, settle down.
I can't even binge watch this TV show.
I know. Not even if you wanted to, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's it then. So thank you guys so much for listening and watching and supporting. We love you all. Grey's is coming back in its 22nd season soon. If you're still watching, same. You know, here we are. It's just still happening. So make sure you're telling people all about us. Make sure you go to graysacademypod.com because it's got our socials, it's got merch, it's got everywhere you can listen. You can leave reviews wherever you listen, pretty please. Share us on socials, tag us so we can see it. If you go to our Instagram, like I said, I will be sharing the information for the foundation that Mark Dane is working with for ALS research. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, pretty please always remember.
Make sure to buy me Pokemon cards and let me know and then message me and I will pay you back for them, maybe. But more importantly, I will for sure pay you back if you do that. Most importantly, no spoilies. We appreciate you all and we will see you all in the next one.